You can call it a dividend, a bonus, a distribution. That happens less frequently and less predictable, but you need to be able to separate the two. So what I do is I take a, think about it like a salary. I take a regular paycheck every single month, and I just take enough to live my normal, regular life.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, everyone? It's Steve Larson. Welcome back to Sales Funnel Radio. Whether you're tuning in on YouTube or podcast or social media or wherever, excited to have you. I have a cool guest speaker on with me here today, someone who is a good personal friend of mine, someone I look up to like crazy, learned from like crazy, shared my deepest, darkest thoughts with like crazy, lots of messages back and forth, huge respect for him. I'm excited to have on the show Brad Gibb. Welcome to the show.
Oh, dude, thank you. Excited to be on here, Steve. Always a pleasure, and all the compliments and 10 times more returned your way. Same thing. Dude, it's a lonely space sometimes, but I'm glad there's a Steve Larson out there that for me makes it just that much less lonely.
Feeling is mutual, my friend. Oh, man. Honestly, I'm really stoked to have you on here. And for anyone who doesn't know, Brad's going to be speaking at the Offer Launch event. So go get your ticket at offerlaunch.com. You know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs jump into the entrepreneurial space because they, understandably and for good reason, are a bit of an artist. Okay. And they go, they go create art, and they put this art out there. And a lot of them, not all of them, but a large portion of maybe the internet marketing and funnel space figures out how to make money quickly, figures out how to, you know, go to market fast. And a lot of them just stereotypically just don't really know how to manage money in terms of their business. They don't set up a separation between business finance and personal finance. And I've learned just so much of that from you. And you've really tied a lot of the, crossed a lot of T's and dotted I's for me on this. Can you just briefly answer one of the biggest questions I know that, you know, this audience has frequently, which is, when should the business pay me versus when should I leave the money in the business? You know, disclaimer, financial disclaimer for all here.
You should do nothing I say. Nothing is specific.
We're all crazy.
Don't go get somebody smart to tell you what to do. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
All of those things. So this is probably, you're right, one of the major questions asked. Like when I talk to a business owner and I'm like, how do you get paid from the business? And they get like this, I'm guilty look on their face. And they're like, well, I just reach into the account and I take money out. And then I'm not sure, like, am I going to yell that? It's like they're reaching into the cookie jar and they're worried their mom's going to like slap their hand.
Right? But it's their cookie jar.
But it's their cookie jar. And they don't, because like you said, they just don't understand the mechanics of how it should go. So to absolutely blow everybody's mind, and I think this aligns with the entire funnel hacker, funnel land, online business world methodology, that we are not in the world of let's get a business idea, let's put a business plan together, let's raise some seed capital and put an executive team together, and then go raise a whole bunch of money and hope that we don't eat the bank account before that business thing comes to light and we get purchased, right? That's a model of running a business where how do you get paid is very different than what I'm going to talk about. So for clarity's sake, if you're in the we're going to build a business, that direction, which is totally viable, right? Your exit model and revenue model is completely different. What I'm talking about is somebody who, like you said, is the artist and is really doing this to fulfill a purpose that they feel like they have or that they've seen or a difference that they can make. But it's also going to be that funds their lifestyle, right? It's going to, and to some regard or another, going to be a lifestyle business. The radical approach I have to it is it's not unreasonable for that to be profitable, meaning putting cash into your pocket from day one.
Like
profit should be engineered into your business model, not something that we eventually achieve once we've taken care of everything else. And so I think about it like a thermostat. Why is my office at 72 degrees right now? Because I told the thermostat I keep this room at 72 degrees. And if it warms up a little bit, it brings the temperature back down. If it cools down a little, it brings the temperature back up, right? But a lot of us, because we don't understand money, we don't understand budgeting and just the organization and the numbers that go into the technical side of business, because we're artists, we've just got our thermostat set incorrectly. We've got it set at $0 and give all your money to everybody else and take care of yourself last. And if you leave your thermostat set on that, then that's what you'll get
for burnout really fast,
very, very quickly. And you'll be burned out, and it'll be always a challenge and a struggle. Whereas, so, and you're like, Brad, I thought you were an investment guy. What are we even talking about here? Well, funny enough, it's hard to invest if you don't have any money. And so a lot of the work that I actually do with business owners is I spend time in this conversation to be like, let's design profit into your business. What would it look like with profitability? And let's work toward that before we spend too much time anywhere else, because, and we'll probably get to this in the chit chat, but the greatest investment that you have in front of you is the business you're working to grow.
Hmm.
And let's spend our time there and make everything possible out of that before we go, because I have so many business owners come to me who their business is choking them. And then they're with what little bit of money their sort of aspiration or hope is, oh, if I could just make the right investment, then I would be rich or wealthy or whatever the definition. And they actually look away from the thing that will make them wealthy into the investing world, which is not what the investing world is there for. So did that answer your question?
No, it totally did. When can I get paid? It's this engineered piece in there. It's this part that, like you said, engineered into the business model itself. I'm taking notes like crazy over here. Okay, so yeah, when can I get paid? And obviously it's a different answer, like you said, compared to those who are raising seed capital and those who are, you know, we're not really of that world. So when is it that someone can feel confident? Because I know you said day one, you really can pull a doll, and you can with these, you know, in this kind of space that we're all in. But I remember feeling super scared the first time I did it. I was like, I know that I'm supposed to be an employee or whatever. I'm part of the cost model of this business.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any advice for someone trying to navigate that?
I've used the name for this, and I call it my very toxic masculinity name. So just transfer your own. I call it King's Cash. If you're a queen listening, it's Queen's Cash, and it's just as good. I call it King's Cash because I'm a king, but it is, again, so I look at this in two ways. You should get paid in your business two ways. One is for the day-to-day work you do inside the business, because you show up as a good little worker bee employee, and you have job descriptions and you have things that need to get done, and you do that work and you should get paid for that. Steve, that's where you build yourself into the cost structure of the business model. If you're good at building funnels, you should get paid to build funnels, even if you're building funnels for your own business, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's this second part of getting paid, which is because you own the business and you took risk and you backstop the risk of that business, right? That is the second reason for which you get paid. Now, this is what Karl Marx missed when he said labor gets all of, like, the communists that come in and want to wreck everything. They don't realize that really what you're getting paid to do is to take on risk, have the idea of the business, and to backstop and underwrite the risk of it. That second portion, you can call it a dividend, a bonus, a distribution, that happens less frequently and less regular and less predictable. But you need to be able to separate the two. So what I do is I take a, think about it like a salary, right? Mm-hmm. I take a regular paycheck every single month, and I can build certainty into my life because I know when money is going to come in. And so as I'm growing the business and hiring more people, I'm protecting my salary just like I would protect the salary of everybody else on my team as we're growing, right? I would never want to overhire and then not have enough to pay the guy that's been there and is actually doing all the work, right? So I put myself into that world, and I just take enough to live my normal, regular life, right? Because I'm the employee part of it. And then the second part is we need to zoom out from the business once a quarter and look at how did we perform. And we need to do this from the goals and objectives we've set, the targets we've set, did we hit them? But we also need to do it financially. And we need to look at the bank accounts and say, do I have more cash 90 days later than I started out that 90-day time period with? And if so, 100% of that excess cash, guess whose it is? It's yours. That is what you get paid because you own this asset. And I tell people, go through the exercise of actually taking the money out of the business and put it in your personal bank account. and just bask in how amazing it feels to get paid for turning, creating something amazing out of an idea that was in your head.
But Brad, oh my gosh, I'm going to starve the business. Oh no. Right. What do you say to that? Because that's obviously what people say next.
Two answers to that. And I'll tell a little story about somebody we all know. Do you guys know Brandon Poulin? We've all heard of him. Great friend. Awesome dude.
Awesome guy.
Amazing business owner. Yeah. But I remember an exchange we had because I was trying to say the same thing. I was trying to be like, dude, you've got to be also building your wealth while you're building the business. And every time we would talk about taking cash from the biggest and beginning investing strategies, like, oh man, I'm going to make this investment in next quarter, in next quarter, in next quarter, right? Until finally I just showed up. I was like, hey man, I don't know that we need to meet anymore because in the last couple of meetings, this is the way it's gone. And I just think you're just too lazy for this to work. Yeah. You know, Brandon, how do you think that went? Right?
He's going to smack you.
And I was like, no, dude, nothing's wrong with that. It's totally fine. Yeah. If you want to be lazy, that's fine. He's like, whoa, what do you mean? What? And I said, well, Brandon, when you didn't have money, how did you solve problems? You were an entrepreneur and you figured it out with something that wasn't money, your own ingenuity. Hmm. Now that you have money, you've just decided to be lazy and let money solve your problems. And so this exercise of extracting profit from our business gives us the space to rethink and say, wait a minute, do I actually have to solve this problem with money or is there another way? Then if there isn't another way and money is the legitimate solution to it, guess what you can do? You can put the money back into the business and reinvest and grow. But that act of pausing for a second and thinking about it and running through an analysis increases your financial IQ, increases your entrepreneurial IQ. And funny enough, once Brandon started doing this, he started extracting money from the business, got himself personally very, very well off and very wealthy and doing very well for himself, and never did it choke or starve the growth of the business because...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean? He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
He was able to solve his way out of it entrepreneurially. Sometimes he put money back in the business, but a lot of times he came up with solutions that did not require money. And that's our job as an entrepreneur, is to solve the problems that come up. So my answer to it is that space of, but Brad, it'll start the business. That's the question I want answered. Why will it starve the business? What do we need to do? And what action steps going to be taken? You know, the other way I look at it, and I quiz this of business owners all the time, I'm like, Steve, if I have an investment and I say, hey, give me $100,000, let's go invest. What's your first question?
Where?
Yeah. How much money am I going to make?
Yeah.
And when am I going to get it back? Right.
Yeah.
And those would be the questions you would ask me. Have you ever asked that of your business? Have you ever put money into the business and then really looked at when am I going to get this back and over what time frame?
Because of you. Yeah. But prior
now
to you,
do.
Prior to you though, like, no, I bootstrapped my business with little tiny affiliate marketing, things like that. I didn't actually put any of my own money in, but yeah, it was because of you and this methodology. I mean, I have a very similar background story with when you told me to start taking money out. I was like, whoa, wait. Okay. I believe it though. I'm going to take it out. And it's funny because I took that excess cash out and I immediately became more entrepreneurial. Like, but not in like a starvation, I'm going to die way. It was the function of the business to do that for me as the owner. Yep. And then now we all became more entrepreneurial and we figured out how to close the gap. We didn't do anything risky. We just took the excess off.
Like, yep.
Oh, fascinating. Fascinating. Yep.
So that's what I want business owners to ask themselves. And by not taking money out of the company, we're by default putting money into it or leaving it in there. And this makes us better business owners by asking ourselves the question, what does my business need to grow? And what does it need to grow profitably? Right. And a lot of people think it goes slower, but we tracked some of your case study together where you actually started growing faster the more money you took out of your business.
Yeah.
Insanity.
It's crazy. It feels so backwards. I remember the first time I wrote a 6-figure check to the IRS and I think I called you immediately or something like that. I was stressing out.
Yep.
And which really leads, I feel like, to the next part. So a business is cash flow positive. They know their expenses. They figure out whatever that threshold is. They're taking the excess off. And then the owner, you know, I love your answer to this. I'm just going to ask you again, though, anyway. The owner feels the pressure to, well, I got this extra cash. I know that it shouldn't be just sitting in a bank account. Therefore, I'm going to start investing, which basically means I'm going to start a second career. Oh, man. And then they find all these other places, you know. And then you came along. And I remember I was going down this huge, deep rabbit hole.
Uh-huh.
And I started buying all these finance books. And I love finance. I think it's fun. And I started looking at more investment options. And you kind of smacked me upside the head a little. Do you mind just reiterating to everyone what you said to me about this?
I almost word for word, I said, Steve, please don't. And please stop. Because you have a gift for marketing and education and teaching that is so much more valuable than how to flip a house, right? Yeah. And be involved in that. And just like anything else, money investing is a skill set you can buy from somebody better at it than you. Mm. And you should trade with somebody. And I raised my hand and said, I think that might be me, but that you need to not do this and double down on the greatest wealth creation vehicle that is already sitting in front of you and do that 10x better than you're currently doing it. And that was almost verbatim what I said. Please don't.
I mean, just to kind of close the loop though, at least how would you tell someone to kind of handle that at that point?
Yeah, because at the same time, your business is your greatest investment, but it's also your greatest enemy too. Because I love the Jeff Bezos quote. He said to the shareholders of Amazon, where he said, Amazon is already bankrupt. My job is to just simply delay that as long as possible. It's like, think about that for a minute. Amazon. He recognizes Amazon is already bankrupt and his job is to just delay the inevitable, which means if Amazon is in that boat, every company is in that boat. Every company, the end state of every company is eventually bankruptcy and it goes out of business and ceases to exist. No business, like the average tenure of a S&P 500 company is now only 14 years.
Really?
14 years. The largest 500 companies only stay that way now for 14 years. It's been in decline since the 1960s, but it's at 14 years. So if that means an S&P can't do it, Steve, you're awesome, but I don't know if you're as awesome as Amazon, right?
Yeah.
So that does bring up the question of like, okay, if I just perpetually invest in my business, eventually I'll lose it all. And that's what we're working to avoid as business owners. So the only reason we invest, it's not to make more money because you have a money printing machine sitting in front of you called a funnel. And you put a dollar in and it gives you $2 back out. So if you want more money, we go back to our business and we do that again. But at some point, we'll reach a point where it's like, wait a minute, I don't actually need or want more money. What I want is now I want to start purchasing time. And that becomes the thing. So rate of return is totally irrelevant, because if I can print money on demand, rate of return doesn't matter. Getting more money is the purpose of the business. Buying time is the purpose of our investment. And so that's when we shift to saying, great, money is no longer my constraint. It's not that money doesn't matter, but money no longer is the constraint. What my constraint or my desire now becomes is to own more of my time. And that's what smart business owners and the truly wealthy do. The amateurs and the speculators, they think, oh, I'm gonna make this investment and double my money and all of this. That is not what investing is. Investing is transacting in a way that even if my business does go under, I personally don't go under. And I'm intentionally keeping a little bit of intrigue, because I'll share with you from stage in Boise, Idaho, what you should be doing, what real investing actually looks like. Otherwise, we give it all away on the show, Steve. We got to have some reason.
Can't finish do that.
The story, get your ticket, come check it out, because we're going to talk about the only way business owners ought to invest, because it's completely different than what W-2 people do, because W-2 people don't own a business. They can't print money on demand. Steve, imagine this for a minute. Like, you never really lived this world, but like 90% or more of the world wake up on January 1st of every single year knowing exactly how much money they're going to make in the next 12 months.
I can't even imagine. I only experienced that for like 2 years.
Right.
I couldn't even, even then I was still building stuff on the side. I couldn't handle it.
And with limited resources, investing takes on a different objective. But with literally unlimited resources and leverage inside of our business, our investing objectives change dramatically as business owners. And we should not follow the advice, although it's great advice for W-2 people, we should not follow the advice that non-business owners are given with money and finance. We have our own set of rules to play by. And that, my friend, that's what we're going to be talking about from stage in Boise, Idaho next month. I can't even wait. I'm so excited. It's going to be great.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. And, you know, I'm psyched to have you come, because I feel like, you know, I was telling this to someone else, like, I feel like what we're teaching at Offer Launch, we're giving somebody a Ferrari. It's a vehicle that will take them to a fast destination or destination very quickly compared to other vehicles. But the funny enough, the second problem that creates for somebody is cash management. And you got to have a little bit of that education and know-how. Otherwise, you're kind of stuck in the funnel game and you keep building funnels to solve funnel problems, which is idiotic. And it just doesn't work that way.
You and I have been through the issue of, at some point you have to graduate from a funnel builder to like a business owner, right? You've kind of said of like, you're a marketer, and then you transition to like that chief marketing or revenue officer role. And then eventually you move into the CEO position. There is certain business acumen that in order to continue to grow, you have to develop and learn.
Yeah.
The crazy part about living in a world where we can be profitable day one is you fall into the lottery winner sort of effect, or the pro athlete type effect, where you go from no money to insane amounts of money, and your education to understand, handle, and management did not grow as quickly as your bank account did.
Yeah.
I know a lot of you out there are like, oh, this sounds like a really rough problem to have, where my bank account grows fast. Like, but it's real.
It actually is a big problem though. Yeah.
It is actually, I have talked to people who came into money so quickly through their business, they were more stressed and more scared with money than without. Because now stuff mattered, right? And so really the game here isn't what do I do with my money? If you're asking that question, the answer by default is you need to get smarter and you need to get somebody around you that's smarter, right? It isn't go make an investment. It's invest in yourself until you know what investment you should be making. And that's what you and I sat down and did. I didn't be like, great, Steve, give me a check and I'll run and I'll do all this for you. I spent hours and hours and hours going through the investing philosophy and the strategies and the setup and the why and raising your financial IQ. And then I could offer you services to help you execute on that, but you can't outsource strategy really in any realm of what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's what needs to be built first is a wealth building strategy that matches your income building strategy of your business.
And honestly, how lucky do we get to be in a space and with a technique and methodology and funnel space that's the kind of problem you get to go solve, but it is a legitimate issue. And I remember, coming into it faster than I ever had before. And I was like, it was a little bit freaky and the world gets loud because everyone's got an opinion. Yep. And then you're like, ooh, are you really going to help me? Or are you just trying to get a piece of that check, you know? And that was a weird thing to wade through. So
yep.
I'm really excited to have you, man. Like, this is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Your friend, confidant, you see him at my best and at my worst. And I'm just super grateful to have you come speak. This is going to be fun.
Well, like I said, I'm honored. My passion is helping the bootstrapping business owner, entrepreneur increase their financial IQ so that they don't get knocked out of the game. Because that's the great part about business. As long as we never quit, we're going to win. And I want to bring the other side of those tools. I think we talked about this too. This may offend some people, but I like this idea. You and I kind of agree that there were two skill sets that if you mastered, you could pretty much just win life, right? Now, we're not talking about like the spiritual aspirations or whatever, but like the material life, if you can market
sense
and understand money, I think you can win the game. Like you can get the rest of everything else you need to be successful, but those are the two pieces. So I'm excited to bring the money conversation to the marketing conversation so that all of you can not just dominate in the business world, but build the life that you envisioned when you started all of this out, because it's going to require the money half of that conversation to do it.
Yeah, it's the other half of the coin, same coin. Oh man, well, Brad, thank you so much. Excited to have you guys. Guys, go get your ticket at offerlaunch.com. It's October 26th through the 28th. And come hear this ridiculous golden wisdom just fall from the sky. It's going to be awesome. And looking forward to having you, Brad.
Let's do it.